Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Chafav. We begin at the Mishnah, two lines from the top. We're picking up in the midst of a discussion. Yesterday we learned that one is meant to refrain from doing things which might create a bad image. We had several examples, actually three. So this fellow brings a get for an Isha which enables her to remarry. He should not go ahead and marry that Isha. It gives the impression that perhaps he was motivated by that desire to marry the Isha, and therefore he concocted the entire episode. Another case is where he's testifying that an Isha's husband passed away, which allows her to remarry. Don't go marry that Isha. A third case of a Chacham who didn't allow the Isha to revoke her neder, which subsequently brought about a divorce. So in all three cases, he should not go ahead and marry that Isha, which would appear like he's engaging in something improper. However, in our Mishnah, the Mishnah will give us three exceptions to this rule. In three cases, we do not have that impression of impropriety. There's no grounds or basis for suspicion. Here's case number one, Vekulam, and all those instances. For instance, this fellow brought a get, which allowed Aisha to remarry. Allowed Aisha to divorce and remarry. Let's say the shliach who brings the get, or the fellow who's testifying that her husband passed away, was presently married. So he had a wife. Umesu and his wife passed away. They can proceed and marry this Aisha afterwards. The fact that he's married, happily married, allows us to assume that everything was done with integrity. He didn't have any motivating factor to allow this Isha to remarry because he had his own wife. Now, although in the time of Gemara, they certainly would marry more than one woman, Tiferes Yisrael says it was uncommon. So once he has his own personal wife, we don't suspect any wrongdoing, that he had his eye and interest on the other woman. So if he was married and his wife passed away, then he can go marry that Isha that he was instrumental in being matir. Case number two is v'kulan shenisru l'achirim. Suppose that Isha that you were instrumental in allowing to remarry, that Isha married somebody else. And then something happened, v'nisgarshu, they got divorced, or shenis almanu, she became widowed. Mutaris l'nasa l'hem, then that Isha can go ahead and marry this person, this shaliach who brought the get, etc. So we have Reuven, who was married to Rachel. Levi brought a get and testified that Rachel is meant to be divorced. And then Rachel went ahead and married not Levi. She married Shimon, total stranger. And then something went wrong. She left Shimon. The fact that Shimon came in the middle indicates that there was no orchestration here. It wasn't a plot. Otherwise, she would have just gone straight and married Levi. She married Shimon and something went wrong and now she's available once again. Now Levi is free to marry her. It wouldn't arouse any suspicion, any chashad, any appearance of wrongdoing. In the third case we have v'kulon mutoros lebneim o l'acheim. In all these cases the woman can marry the relative, son or brother, the Gemara will add father as well, of this fellow who brought the get, who was part and parcel of allowing her to remarry, because if one is motivated by improper desires, it's only for his own personal benefit. He will not succumb to the Yetzirah to benefit somebody else. So the fact that she marries a son, a brother, does not create any impression of impropriety on his part. So we have three cases. One is marrying a relative. The other one is if she marries somebody else in between, that's okay. And in the first case of the Mishnah, if this shaliach who brought the get was currently married, and then something happens, his wife passes away, now he's free to marry that Isha. Says the Gemara, Mesu in. It appears that it only works if his wife passed away. So it was an unexpected development. We assume this is not what he had in mind. He wasn't motivated by anything other than just helping that woman, because he was already happily married. Mesu in, only if his wife passed away, he is free to marry that Isha. But if they got divorced, then we're concerned that perhaps he instigated this divorce to enable him to marry that Isha. But we have a bride which indicates that even divorce would be okay. Even if he got divorced, he's allowed to go marry that Isha. Like Kasha, the answer is like this. Depends under what circumstances. In that Mishnah, that Brisa, which allows even Gerushin is speaking where they were in a state of discontent all throughout. They were squabbling all along. In which case, there's no reason to think that the divorce was in any way motivated or instigated by his desire to marry this woman. They were already squabbling for a while. It's a pre-existing condition. And therefore, there's no chashash there. We treat Gerushin just like Misa, and he's free to marry the Isha. In our Mishnah, we're speaking, they were living a tranquil life, happily married. And suddenly there's a divorce in the family, and he wants to marry this Isha. Oh, that's a red light. That's indicative, perhaps, of the fact that he was motivated by marrying, by his desire to marry this Isha, and therefore he can't do it. You've got the same another Teretz. In both Mishnah and Bryce were speaking that there was no squabbling amongst them. There was no quarreling. But the Kashan answers like this. If he instigated the fight, he instigated a state of content which led to the divorce, then we have to think twice. Something sounds fishy. Perhaps he was motivated by his desire to marry the Isha, and we don't allow it. In the Brisa was speaking that she was the one who picked the fight. She instigated this discontent, which brought about the Gerushin, in which case we're not concerned that he orchestrated anything at all. It was something totally out of his hands. So even if they separated on account of divorce, he's allowed to go marry the Isha. There's no impression of impropriety. So bottom line is, if there is Misa, it's certainly okay. Totally unexpected, something unplanned. If there's Gerushim, it depends on the circumstance. V'kulon shenisu, in the second case of the Mishnah, the Isha, who you helped remarry, actually married somebody else. And that fellow passed away or divorced her, then you can go marry her. Now let's go off on a tangent. The Gemara figures that Misa is referring al Misa, referring back to the case where her first husband died. Remember in the previous mission, as we discussed, cases where, let's say, he testifies that this Isha's husband passed away, Mace. Right? That was one case. Another case was that he brought a get for the Isha and facilitated her divorce. The one figures that over here, when we're speaking that Isha went ahead and married somebody else and got divorced, or the fellow passed away, it corresponds to the earlier cases. So let's say in the case where her second husband passed away, it was after her first husband already passed away. It's referring back to that case as well. So she had one Misa, another Misa, both husbands passed away. With Gerushin, not Gerushin. This Isha now who's getting divorced, it's her second time around. It's referring back to that same Isha who had a get from husband number one. So it's even speaking if it's a matchup. It was one death and another death. One Gerushin, another Gerushin. That's problematic. Because what's this fellow doing marrying the Isha whose husband passed away twice? Who had two experiences of Misa? That's a chazoka. That's a bad sign. That arouses very serious and grave concerns that perhaps this Isha is a catalyst. This Isha brings about death in her family. More later, Yevamos talks about, according to one approach, it's mazel related. Perhaps this Isha is bringing about this tragic end to her husband. It would appear that our Mishnah, which indicates that this fellow is going to marry this Isha who twice lost her husband, is not following Shitas Rebbe. Why? The Iker Rebbe, because according to him, Ha'amar betrays Zimin Ava Chazaka, according to him, two times creates a track record. which would not allow this fellow to marry her any longer. Lo, you know, that's not the case. Misa agerishin. Actually, the cases don't match up. This woman who lost her husband in our Mishnah is the same woman who got divorced in the first Mishnah. The gerishin, and the woman that's getting divorced. Now, Amisa refers back to the Isha whose husband passed away. But of course, if there is two Misas, or she was divorced twice, according to Rashi, it's a Chiddush. If Isha gets divorced twice, there again, there's a track record. There's a chazaka, she should not be married again. Now, in the third case of the Mishnah, we have marrying a relative. That's okay. V'kulon mutaris lebnei malacheim. So this fellow who was involved in allowing the Isha to remarry, he brought the get for her, etc., he shouldn't marry. But she can marry his relative. Says the Gemara, how can we allow that? Maishna modesnan, why is this different than the Mishnah where we learned that you meant to keep away from relatives as well? Hanit'an. We had a lashon a couple of days ago. Hanit'an means if a fellow was a subject of a rumor circulating between him about himself and this Isha, there was some sort of improper interaction. Hanita mina Isha, osur be'imo u'bito b'achoy, so he can't marry her relative as well. Mother, daughter, or sister, Rashi explains, because we're concerned that if he marries that woman's daughter, that somehow will allow him access to the Isha that he had already interacted with, and now he's really into big trouble, because once he married that Isha's daughter, wife's relatives are asa min ha-Torah, a proper erva. So mingling with her relative, her mother, for instance, would be terribly asa. So he shouldn't be marrying her relative, which would bring him closer to the Isha with whom he had some sort of improper relationship beforehand. Likewise, in our Mishnah, how can you allow the Isha to marry the Shliach, the Rav's son, which might give him access to that Isha? Answers the Gemara, there's a big difference. Number one, Nashi legabi Nashi shchichan da'aslam. Women are social birds. They like visiting and interacting. So if he marries a relative of a woman with whom he already interacted improperly, that woman will go visit, will come visit his wife. So there's something between himself and Rachel. He's going to marry Rachel's daughter, Leah. Rachel will come visit on Shabbat, and that will give him access to Rachel, which is problematic. Gavri legabi gavri, but men to men, they keep their distance. Men are cavemen. They mind their own business. Gavri legabi gavri lo shchichan. They don't necessarily frequent each other, and therefore in our Mishnah, although this shaliach who brought the get for Rachel shouldn't be interacting with Rachel, that appears problematic. But he can allow her to marry his son because he's not going to hang around in the son's house and not going to interact with this Isha. Teretz number two, Inami. No, she delay asran shchivasana adadi lekapti adadi. When it comes to two women, suppose he had a problem with Rachel. He was nitam in a Isha, he interacted with her, and then he goes and marries Rachel's daughter Leah, right? Leah won't necessarily be on guard or be vigilant with respect to keeping her husband away from Rachel. Again, he interacted with Rachel and married Leah, Rachel's daughter. Leah, his current wife, won't necessarily be on guard to keep her husband away from Rachel because, at worst case, if he interacts with Rachel, it doesn't affect Leah. Even if he's mezana with Rachel, Leah's mother, it has nothing to do with Leah, it won't affect her. So she won't be chasing him out of the house. And there's a concern that when Rachel comes visiting, her husband, Leah's husband, will interact with her improperly. So again, Noshi delay Asran Shchivas Nadadi, two women whose znus doesn't affect each other, like Kapti Adadi, they won't necessarily be vigilant and be on guard regarding each other. So concerned that if Reuben, who interacted with Rachel, he was Nitam in Aisha, goes and marries Rachel's relative when Rachel comes to visit, he'll have access to that relative, which is an Erev. As opposed to Gavri, men, two men, the Asr and Shchivas Na'adadi. In this case, being Mizana with one's wife makes her Asr on him. Kapti Adadi. He's very careful. He's on guard. He's vigilant. Not to allow his father to come by and interact with his wife. That's why in Al-Mishnah there's no concern about this Isha, marrying the son of the Chacham, the son of the Shliach. The son will chase him out of the house. There's no concern about improper interaction. Okay, so that's the two answers to the Kash. Yehachi says, one more point. So if we allow the Isha to marry the son or brother of the Chacham who was involved in, or the Shliach involved in the get, what about his father? Why is his father not listed in the Mishnah? Yachi Aviv Nami. Let me buy you Kamar. Needless to say, it goes without saying that a father is okay. Let me buy you Aviv. Of course, he can marry the father of the Shliach. The buzz is Bnei Mene because the son is totally embarrassed of his father. He's not going to act improperly in the presence of his father. Aviv Benoi. But when it comes to the Shliach's son, the buzz is Aviv Mene. Perhaps the father is not necessarily embarrassed from his son. Emelei. Perhaps she shouldn't marry his son for concern that the father might hang around there. Kamashmol. The Chiddush is no, we're not concerned. Hadron Loch Ketzad Eishesach. So typically we're concerned about even creating impressions of impropriety, but we have three exceptions listed in our Mishnah where this concern doesn't apply. Continues the Mishnah, Arbo Ach. Now we have four brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shnaimem Nesuim Shteachayas. With two of them married to two sisters. Reuben is married to Rachel, Shimon to Leah, two sisters. Umesu Anasum Zachayas. And Reuben and Shimon married to the two sisters pass on. Now we have two Yevamis, hailing from two different families, presenting themselves to the surviving brothers, Levi and Yehuda. We have a problem on our hands because both of these Yevamis require tending, they have to be taken care of, but they're both sisters, and the fact is one may not do Yibam to the sister of his Yevama. It's called Achayis Zekukasai, a sister of the Yevama who is bound to him. It's like a sister of his wife. So what's the solution? Yibum is off the table. We do chalitza to both and not Yibum. Vim kadma v'kansu. Suppose the brothers jumped in and did Yibum. Yitzi, we'd have to get rid of them. Rabbi Lazar Omer, it's not so simple. It's a machlikas. Bid the yevet, it's a machlikas. Bishamer Omerim, yeah, kaimu, they can hold on to them. Bishil Omer, yitzi, we'd have to separate. Okay, that's a standard case. Two Yivamis are sisters. Chalitza is in place and not Yibum. Suppose one of these Yivamis, take Rachel for instance, she was Asur, she was an Erva to one of the surviving brothers. She was Levi's mother, sister, daughter. Then she's off the table. As far as Levi's concerned, he only has one potential Yivama to take care of. So the concern of Achoyse Kukase doesn't apply. Asur Ba. So he's Asur in this Isha. Umut Bechoyse, can go be Miyav and the other Yevama, no concern. Vashani, but the other brother, who's presented by both Yevamas equally, he's back to the problem. Each one is considered a sister of his Zekuka, and therefore Asur Beshtein, he cannot be Miyav either one. What if it's Isur Mitzvah, Isur Kedusha? The Erva is not really a Erva Minatur, it's only made a Rabbanon, or it's only a Chayav Elavin, a Monolokain Gadol, etc., where we learned back in Afchav that they're still considered Yevamis. They still require Chalitza. So in this case, both Levi and Yehuda consider as though they have two Yevamis pending. They have two women awaiting their Yibum. Chalitza is Lami Sabemis. So we're back to the first equation where only Chalitza can be done in Yibum because Levi has two Yevamis. So each one is a Chayitza Kukase, and likewise Yehuda. And therefore only Chalitza can be done. What about Hoysa Achas Men Asura Alze Isur Erva? We actually had this back on Aftes. Let's say they crossed. So Rachel is a full-fledged, perfect Erva to Levi, but she's Mutta to Yehuda. Likewise, Leah is an Erva to Yehuda, but she's Mutta to Levi. So basically, each Yavam only has one potential Yavama. Perfect. There's no Achaysa Kukasai. Each one will be miyabim the yevama, which is suitable for him. One of the sisters is an erva to one brother, but muta to the other brother. Likewise, the other yevama is a daughter of one brother, but she's muta to this one. Perfect. Rachel, who's asur to Levi, muteris lazeh, can go ahead and be miyabim, get yibum through Yehuda. Vasru Lazeh and Leah, who's Erva to Yehuda, Muteris Lazeh, can go marry Levi. Vizoi Sheamru, as we learned back in Naftes, Achoysa Shei Kesheyevimta, the sister of an erva, who happens to be her sister-in-law as well, and awaiting yibum, oichay letzes, and you say abemis, can have chalitza or yibum, because at the end of the day, every brother only has one yivama awaiting his yibum. Perfect. Let's go ahead and do yibum. Shmamino yish zika, says the Gemara. It's pretty clear from the Mishnah that zika, being bound, being tied to the yibum, creates a proper tie, and we treat her as though she's his wife and her sister's off limits. Isn't that what the first halacha of the Mishnah indicated to us? If you have two yivamis falling to you, yivamis that happen to be sisters, you can't be me. I'm either one, because each one is a sister of your zikuka. It's as though she's your wife's sister. D'i ain't zika, because otherwise, if you don't subscribe to zika, what's the problem? Mirti, let's analyze. Hani mitre batika asyan. Both Rach and Leah hail from different households. Each one has her own reason for yibum, due to her husband's passing. Haile yabam chada, let Levi be miyabam Rachel. Haile yabam chada, and Yehuda be miyabam Leah. What's wrong with that? Oh, answer is zika, because both Rachel and Leah are bound to both, to Yehuda and to Levi. So when you have two sisters bound to you, awaiting your yibum, it's as though they're married to you, in which case you can't marry the sister of your wife. So you need to do chalitz. So is that so? Is the raya a clear raya? Actually, we had a whole machlegas back on the Yud Zayin, the machlegas Tanoim, and Amirayim. Is it true that this mission is indicative of the shita of Yesh Zika? Says the Gemara, no. Not so fast. Lo'ilam emelach ein zaka. Perhaps we don't hold up Zika. So what's the issue in the Mishnah? Why are you forced to do chalitza and not yibum? Mishnah dekas savar. Also, lavata mitzvah yibum. Women have to do something which will preclude mitzvah yibum. What does this mean? You have Rachel and Leah, two Yivamis, and they happen to be sisters. We can't allow Levi to be Miyabim Rachel. You know why? Because Dilma Adam Miyabim Chad, as soon as Levi is Miyabim Rachel, Mayis Idach, perhaps his brother Yudah passes away, and now the remaining Yivama Leah is left stranded because nobody's going to take care of her. Yehuda can't, Levi can't, because he's already married to Rachel. And to him, Leah's his wife's sister. Become mevatel mitzvah yivam, in which case you are nullifying, you'll be mevatel mitzvah yivam. So you must take all precautionary steps to avoid this type of situation. Therefore, we don't allow yivam whatsoever in this case of sisters. We don't want to run the chance of being mevatel mitzvah yivam. Therefore, we say Levi and Yehuda both have to do chalitza and not yibum. In which case, if he does chalitza to Rachel, and then Yehuda passes away, Levi can still do chalitza to Leah. He's not marrying her, he's just doing chalitza, that's okay. Asks the Gemara, Ihoch, if that's the case, that the Loch and the Mishnah is not based on Zika, rather based on the concern of being mevato mitzvah yibum, tlos anami. Why mention a case of four brothers? You know, throughout the Masechta, we speak about three brothers. Why do we jump to four? The same halacha could have been taught with three brothers. How? You have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon passed away, leaving behind Rachel and Leah, two sisters. You're meant to know that Levi, the surviving brother, the only three brothers, Levi, the surviving brother, should not do yibum to Rachel, which will pretty much leave Leah stranded. She's now his wife's sister. Don't do that, because you'll be mevatel mitzvah yibum. That's all. Why get a fourth brother involved? Now, as Rashi points out, if the chiddush of the Mishnah is Yesh Zika, if that's the concern, we understand very well why the Mishnah took the trouble to present it as a four-brother scenario. You know why? Because that's a greater chiddush. You have two brothers who passed away, leaving behind two Yevami sisters. Now you have Levi and you, the two brothers, Yevamin. The chiddush of the Mishnah is, even if you have two brothers here, so basically Rachel and Leah are not really personally designated to either one. It's not a personal zika, it's not a personal commitment or tie or relationship with either brother. Maybe she's mine and she's hers. It's not like they're both awaiting my yibum. Still, we learn in the Mishnah, we treat Rachel and Leah both as though they're connected to Levi. we treat them both as though they're connected to Yehuda. And therefore, each one is considered a Achoy Zekukah, the sister of my Zekukah. That's a grand, it's great Chiddush. Even if you have a crowd, you have two people here. Two Yevamim, we still say Yesh Zekukah. That's a Chiddush. And that's why the Mishnah points it out. That's why we have a case of four brothers. Not only by three brothers, where you have only one surviving brother, of course, you say Yesh Zekukah, there's nobody else here to take care of the Yevamim. Of course, they're connected to you and they're bound to you. Chiddush is even by two brothers. But if it's just a question of also levata mitzvah sivam, we could have had the same halacha expressed in the case of three brothers. You're right. Loy mebayik amar, needless to say, it goes without saying. Loy mebayik losa. Of course, if it's only three brothers, devad le batla mitzvah sivam. Of course, if it's three brothers, you're orchestrating a bittul mitzvah. Picture it. You have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon passed away. Reuben left behind Rachel. Shimon left Leah behind. And you have one sole survivor, Levi. Of course he can't be Miyavim Rachel, because by doing so he's literally pushing away Leah. She's now his wife's sister. He's leaving her stranded. Of course, that's Pashut. It goes without saying, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is even by four brothers. We'll still have a concern of Bittel Mitzvah Sivam. Avol Dalet, but when it comes to four brothers, who's to say that we're concerned about one brother dying after one brother doing Yibum, L'mis L'chashinon, that after Levi does Yibum to Rachel, suddenly Yehuda will pass away, leaving Leah stranded. Who's to say that we're concerned about that? Kamash on the Chiddush is, yes, we are concerned. So bottom line is, the fact that the Mishnah spoke about four brothers isn't necessarily a raya that we're speaking about the concept of Zika. Perhaps we're concerned about Bittul Mitzvah, which is highlighted, even in this case. Yachi Chamish Nami. If so, that we're concerned about death, which will create a bittul mitzvah sivamin. Same would apply to five brothers. Reuben and Shimon passed away, leaving behind two Yevamai sisters. You have Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar. Don't do any Yibum, because as soon as Levi does Yibum to Rachel, maybe Yehuda and Yisachar will suddenly pass away, leaving Leah stranded. So why stop at four? Go to five, go to seven, go to 1500. Let me say the trade, I'm not concerned about two people suddenly passing away. So bottom line is, there's two ways to understand the mission. You have Yevamis, who are sisters. You can't do Yibum. Why? Either because Yesh Zika, so they're considered like connected to you, and each one is a sister of the other one. Each one is a sister, so to speak, of your wife. It applies to three brothers, to four brothers, to five brothers, same thing. But the fact is they're all bound to these brothers. Whereas if the Pshat in the mission is differently, Pshat is because don't do something which runs the chance of precluding mitzvah siyibam, being mevatel the mitzvah, then it depends how many brothers there are. If it's three brothers, there's a concern. Four as well, but five is already far-fetched. We're not concerned in that case. Amarava barav huna. Amarav. Shalosh achayos yevamis. We have three yevamis who happen to be sisters, coming from three different households. So all three lost their husbands. Shenaflu lefnei shnei achan, that are now presenting to two brothers. You had Reuben, Shimon, Levi, they passed away, leaving behind Rachel, and Leah, and Sarah. Then you have two brothers who are Yevamim, Yehuda and Yisachar. Shenaflu lefnei shnei achan Yevamim. So Yibum is out of the picture. You can't do Yibum to sisters. You have to do Chalitza. How do you go about it? Says Rav as follows. Have one brother, let's call him Levi. He'll do chalitza. Sorry, let's call him Yehuda. He'll do chalitza to Rachel. V'zecholus la'achas, and Yisachar, the other brother, will do chalitza to Leah. V'emtzoyis tzricha chalitza mishnei, and the third isha, Sarah, she needs to be treated to a double chalitza. Both brothers, Yehuda and Yisachar, will do chalitza to Leah, to Sarah. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. Okay, so again, you have three Yevamis who happen to be sisters. You have two surviving brothers. One brother does chalitza to Rachel. The other brother does to Leah. And both together will have to do chalitza with the third sister, Sarah. The more I'll explain, because By the time they get to Sarah, they can't do anything with it. She's a achos chalutza. She's a sister of the isha who they were chaylitz, which is asam the rabbanon. So in effect, this chalitza that they're going to do to her is a deficient chalitza. You know why? Because they cannot marry her. See, typically, ideally, in an ideal situation, what is chalitza? Chalitza is an alternative to yibum. Instead of doing yibum, you choose chalitza. So that's considered a proper, full-fledged chalitza. Chalitza, which is a flip side of yibum. But in this case, where this fellow was chalitz Rachel, this fellow was chalitz Leah. Sarah now is a sister of Rachel and Leah. She's off limits to both brothers. She's a sister of their chalitza. So they can't do yibum whatsoever. So when they do chalitza, this is a deficient, inferior chalitza, which requires both brothers to do. Basically, you can't do an inferior chalitza and exempt your brother. A proper chalitza you can do on his behalf. A proper yibum you can do on his behalf. Right? Only one brother has to do yibum or chalitza on behalf of all the brothers. But if it's an improper, it's a partial, an incomplete chalitza, i.e. a chalitza which is not done in the context of a potential yibum, then although the chalitza is valid, that's all you can do, but each brother has to do it separately to address his personal obligations. Okay, Amalei Rabba, so Rabba responded to Rabba. Let's analyze what you said. Midika Amris Emtsois, Stricha Chalitza Mishneim. The fact that you require the Emtsois, the middle one, basically it's a term for the third one, to get chalitza from both surviving brothers. What does that indicate about your opinion? Because Sarvis, apparently, because you hold Yesh Zika. We reckon with Zika. When the Yavam is awaiting Yavam, she is bound to the Yavam. She sort of has one foot into his family. We consider as though she's partially connected and married to him. Meaning, if you hold Ein Zika, of course the Yavam has to take care of the Yavama, but he's more addressing the departed fellow's family. He has to sort of perpetuate the legacy. He has to address the Kedusha and the marriage of his departed brother. So by taking over his wife, he's sort of continuing that procedure. It's not his personal wife. I'm just taking care of my brother's wife. That's Ein Zika. So as soon as somebody does some sort of chalitza, even a chalitza psula to this Isha, it would work. It addresses her needs. But if you hold Yesh Zika, it takes it a step further. What does Yesh Zika mean? We explained all along. Yesh Zika means she's connected to the Yavam. The fact that she's awaiting his Yibam generates some sort of tie. She's tied to him. She has sort of one foot in his life, in his family. She's his wife. In which case now, when he has to do Yibum, he's addressing his own personal obligation. So now each brother has that issue with her. He has to address his own personal obligation. Therefore, we say if it's a improper chalitza, it's not a full-fledged, full-quality chalitza, because it's not a chalitza in the context of a Yibum, then each brother has to address his own personal tie with this Yivam, his own personal relationship. He has to sort of disconnect on a personal level. That's only because you hold the Yeshzika, and therefore, if it's a chalitza psula, such as in the case of Sarah, where no brother can any longer be miyabim her because they were chalitza her sister, so she's not in the Yibam ballpark when it comes to these brothers. It's a chalitza psula, so each brother has to do a separate chalitza. Kasavar's Yeshzika, because you hold of Zika, v'havi the chalitza psula, and now the chalitza that they're doing to the third Isha is a chalitza psula. When we have a chalitza psula, tzricha lachzor al kol ha'achanim, she has to circulate. She has to make a round amongst all the brothers and have each one do his separate chalitza. Is that the rationale for your halach? Am I on target? Is that a proper pshat in what you're saying? If so, I have a kasha. Yachi, kamay sanami. Let's go back a step. So one brother did chalitza to Rachel. One second. How many Yivamas do we have? Three. They're all sisters. You can't marry either one. They're Achay Zekuka. Right? It's as though she's a sister of your wife, because each Yivam is connected to you, as we learned in Amar Aleph. So Chalitza is not an option even between the first brother and Rachel. So that's a Chalitza Psula. right? Because a chalitza done in a non-yibum context is a chalitza psula. So even Rachel needs chalitza from all the brothers. Why only Sarah? Rachel has the same issue. You're right. Either nafal b'vasachas, if all three sisters fell at once, and they're all presenting at once, hachinami, of course, this issue would be prevalent because each sister is a sister of a zakuka. So of course, the achois zakuka issue would present itself. Well, it's rich, apparently we're speaking the nafal b'zuachazu. What happened was, they fell incrementally, step by step. Naflo chada, Rachel fell, Rachel became available, cholos lo Reuven, so one brother took care of him. So Gemara calls the two brothers Reuven and Shimon. Okay, let's go back to Reuven and Shimon. So cholos lo Reuven. So we have two surviving brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven did chalitza to Rachel. That's it. She's off the table. She's no longer zakuka. Now what happened? Naflo idach. Leah fell. Independent of Rachel. Rachel is no longer in the picture. Fine. Chalas la Shimon. So technically, Shimon can do Yibam. She's not a chayis kuka, because Rachel is already off the equation, off the table. She was taken care of already. She's no longer Yivama. So now when Rachel falls, she's a perfect Yivama, and Shimon can theoretically do Yibam, and therefore his chalitza works. But nafla idach, when Sarah comes into the ballpark, when Sarah enters the equation, Cholatz Lahai, so now, she's a Achos Chalutza, she's a sister of Rachel, whom Reuven was Cholatz. She's a sister of Leah, whom Shimon was Cholatz. So you can't marry her. Yibum is not an option. That makes Chalitza an inferior Chalitza. So each brother has to take care of it separately. Cholatz Lahai, when Reuven does chalitza to Sarah Mafka Zekasa, that addresses his own obligations. Cholatz Lahai, when Shimon does chalitza to Sarah Mafka Zekasa, that addresses his zika and removes that as well. V'amar Rav ain't zika, but we know Rav doesn't hold of zika. Way back on the Afid Zayin, Rav says you can marry the relative of your Yavama. Rav himself doesn't hold of zika. So why is he presenting a halacha based on zika? L'divra Imri, your zika ka'amar, he's simply presenting according to that shita, but he himself doesn't hold of zika. The bottom line is Rav holds. Then we have a chalitza psula. It has to be redone by all the brothers. Ushmol Amar, he disagrees. Echad cholitz l'kuli. You know what? Reuven can do chalitza all throughout. Once he's holding the shoe, go over to Rachel, to Leah, to Sarah, he can do chalitza from top to bottom. Even though it's a chalitza psula. Once he gets past Rachel, Rachel becomes his chalitza now. Leah is achos chalitza. Chalitza psula, he can't marry her. So this chalitza is an inferior. It's lacking. It's a lacking chalitza. And still Shmuel says, no problem. Let Reuven do it. Really? But Shmuel himself told us you can't. Michti, let's analyze this. Shamina le Shmuel, we know that Shmuel himself told us, the Amar chalitza ma'alya b'inan. When you have a choice between an improper chalitza or a high quality chalitza, of course you're meant to opt. You meant to choose the high quality one. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, Cholatz l'achayis. So two Yivamas are falling, and they're both sisters. Yivam is not an option, right? Achayis zukukasei. You do chalitza. Now each Yivama happened to have a companion wife, a tzara. So Reuven and Shimon, Reuven was married to Rachel, Shimon was married to Leah, Rachel and Leah's sisters, of course. And Rachel had another wife there, and a companion wife. So Reuven was married to Rachel and another Isha. Shimon was married to Leah and another Isha. Cholitz l'achoyes, if he chooses to do chalitza to the sisters, l'nif to tzaris, the tzaris don't become exempt. You know why? Because the chalitza done to the achoyes is a deficient chalitza because you can't marry them. So rather do chalitza to the tzaris and exempt the sisters. Who's speaking? Shmuel. You have an option of doing a weak chalitza or a better chalitza. Opt for the better one. So in our case, you have Reuven and Shimon. You have a choice. Heicha the kaima chalitza de Shimon. When you're presented with chalitza that Shimon can do, and it's chalitza kshera. If Shimon would go ahead and do the chalitza to the isha there, it's a chalitza kshera because he can marry her. Chalitza la Reuven, chalitza psula. You're going to allow Reuven to do chalitza psula? do chalitza to Ruch, and then to Leah, you know, he can't be miyabim Leah, and have that address the whole Yibum situation. Why are you allowing that? And says the Gemara, you're right. My echad chilitz lekula nami deka amar. When Shmuel says one fellow can do chalitza to all, he didn't mean literally to all. He didn't mean Ruch, Leah, and Sarah. I'm sorry, he meant to the third one. He does chalitza to Rachel, right? Shimon does chalitza to Leah. They're both proper chalitzas, because theoretically, Reuben can marry Rachel. Then after Rachel is addressed, and Shimon and Leah falls, right? Remember we spoke about b'zeh chazeh, right? They fell incrementally. So once Rachel's off the table, Leah arrives, Shimon theoretically can be miyabim her. So his chalitza is a proper chalitza. Problem is when Sarah presents herself, and she's already a sister of the previously addressed women, she's a chayz chalutza, so now Yibum's not an option. It's called chalitza psula. Regarding that Isha, which we call the Emtsai, the third one, says Shmuel that Reuben can do chalitza to her. That's all you need. You don't need two chalitzas. He disagrees with Rab. Rab said that if we have a chalitza psula, all brothers have to address their personal commitment, their personal obligations. No, Shmuel disagrees. When it's a chalitza psula, one is enough. The fact is you addressed her needs. You took care of her. You took care of her. You gave her chalitza. That's it. V'hukulun ka'amar. What do you mean? Shmuel says that one brother can do all. Not one and three. One, two, and three. Kivan de ruba gabe. Since most of the women, two out of three, are found by him, are being addressed by him, because he's doing one and three, Karolei Kulon, he refers to them as Kulon. You know, Rubik Kulei, two out of three. But of course, he doesn't literally mean that Reuben will take care of all three. Rather, Shimon should take care of Leah, which is the best, because it's a Chalitza Kshera. So according to this Pshat, there's a very slight machlekes between Rav, who says that when it's a deficient chalitza, all brothers have to do it and do it, and everybody has to redo their own personal chalitza. So you can't do it on behalf of all their brothers. Shmuel disagrees on that account. Theoretically, Shmuel holds, we prefer a better chalitza. Whenever there's a choice between better or worse, you take the better one. But when there are no options, when you end up doing a chalitza psula, as long as you do it one time, it's enough. Another pshat says, the Gemara. Shmuel is never concerned with better or worse. A chalitza is a chalitza is a chalitza. And therefore, in our case, with the three sisters, you know what? Reuben can take care of all three of them. Even though he's doing chalitza psula. And even though you have a better option on hand. Well, Shimon can take care of Leah. No, Reuben can take care of everybody. Even though by the time he gets to Leah, it's a chayitz chalutza say. No problem. We don't care about the quality of chalitza. Oh, when Shmuel speaks about the two sisters over there, don't do chalitza to the sisters, do it to the tzaras who can handle, can tolerate a better chalitza. Do it to the tzaras who have higher capacity, rather than the sisters who can't have yibum. Don't do it to them, do it to the tzaras. That was a very specific concern. You see, over there we had the Isha and the Tzara. When you do chalitza to one, you're trying to exempt the other. Oh, to exempt? That's a different story. I can't exempt you if your capacity is greater than mine. If you can handle a better chalitza, i.e. a chalitza which is an exchange of a yibum, and I can't handle that, I only have a chalitza opportunity, I don't have the yibum option, then my chalitza can't work for you. Because it's a lower quality chalitza. It can't really accommodate you. That's all Shmuel said. When I'm coming lemifta tzarasa, then I have to opt for the better one. Avo miftar and nafsha patra. But if you're addressing the isha herself, it's just her and herself, nobody else there. Chalitza works irrespective of whether it's superior, inferior, deficient, high value, low value. Chalitza is a chalitza, the chalitza, and it works. And therefore, Shmuel holds that when these two brothers are faced with three of Ami's sisters, let one brother take care of all the sisters. Go from one to the other, even though by the time it gets to number two, she's already the sister of his chalitza, which is basically a chalitza psula, and you have another brother who hadn't done any chalitza, who can just go over to Leah and do a proper chalitza. We don't care. As long as he does chalitzer, she's yaitze. Okay, so let's just summarize this last shtickle, this last piece between Rav and Shmuel. So we have three sisters, three Yevamis. We'll call them Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. We have Rav, we have Shmuel, we have two Lishenis and Shmuel. Now Rav holds, we proceed as follows. Yavam number one does chalitza to the first sister. Yavam number two, his brother, does chalitza to the second sister. And by the time they get to number three, right, we're speaking that they fell b'zeh-chazeh, right, incrementally. By the time the third one showed up, she's already achos chalutza, she's a sister of the other sisters who had chalitza. One got from the first Yavam, the other one got from the second Yavam. So this third sister is now totally off limits when it comes to Yibum. Nobody can be Yibum. She doesn't have the Yibum option. So Chalitza done to her is considered Chalitza Psula, a deficient Chalitza, which requires all of the brother's involvement, and each one has to do another Chalitza on his own. So Yavam Echad does his own Chalitza, Yavam Beis does his own Chalitza. Shmuel holds like this, according to the first Lashon. He holds that one brother does chalitza to the first sister, the other Yavam does to the second sister, and as far as his third sister, well, anybody, any of the brothers can do chalitza to her. You don't have to make your rounds amongst all the brothers, because he holds that even a chalitza psula works. And therefore, as long as you do one chalitza, be it from this brother or that brother, that is sufficient. However, you're meant to get the best chalitza you can get. Therefore, according to this Lashon, it's very similar to Rav. The first brother does only chalitza to the first sister. When it comes to the second sister, the second brother should do chalitza, because to the second brother, she's not usher. To the first brother, she's achos chalutza, but the second brother, the second sister, is mutter, because he wasn't chalitza to her sister. So that's why he should be doing the chalitza to the second sister. Whereas according to Lishna Bey, the second Lishna Shmuel, if you're just trying to address the needs of this specific Yivama, any type of chalitza works. And therefore, one brother can do all three chalitzas. Go down the line from one Yivama to the other, to the third, even though it's a chalitza psula. Because chalitza has value even in this case. And therefore, one brother can address all the Yivamas. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. One is meant to keep away from creating any sort of impression of wrongdoing. So if he brings a get, or he's involved in testifying regarding the misa of a husband, or a chacham with a neder, don't go ahead and marry that isha. We have three exceptions to the rule. Cases where there is no impression of wrongdoing. Suppose this fellow was happily married, and then his wife passes away, or there's a gerushin which is not attributed to this episode. There was already a pre-existing discontent in the family, or a case where she instigated the get. In any case, we're not concerned about any impropriety in this case, and therefore, once he's separated from his wife, he's free to marry this isha. Or in this case of the isha marrying somebody else first, and then something happens, he can go marry her afterwards, or she can go marry the relative of this shaliach, of this chacham. There's no concern that he orchestrated it to help his relative. Okay, we had the Mishnah, we had two Yevamis who happened to be sisters. No Yibum could be done, whether it's because of the Zika issue, Achayisuk Kasoi, or a question of Asur Levatal Mitzvah Yivamin. It applies to a case where we have one brother surviving or two brothers available. When it's a question of three brothers, so if it's a Zika issue, then number of brothers have no effect on the Halacha. It could be three brothers, 3,000 brothers. The fact is, both sisters are bound to them. Each one is considered achosu kukasa and off limits. If the point is asu levata mitzvah sivamin, well, that's only if it's a very real concern about creating a bittul mitzvah. But if there are enough brothers available, we're not concerned about multiple deaths, in which case they are free to do yibam in this case. Okay, so what happens by two sisters? Typically, there is chalitza, except in a case where one of the yevamos happened to be usher to one of the brothers. In that case, she's not bound to him. So as far as he's concerned, he only has one yevama, which is totally mutter to him. You can even have a case where both nashim will have yibum if there's a crossover. One yevama is usher to one brother, mutter to the other. And her sister has an opposite situation where she's usher to this fellow, mutter to this, in which case each brother technically only has one yevama presenting herself to him, and he's free to be miyabim that isha. And we concluded with the machlokes of Rav Shmuel regarding chalitza pesula. All the best to you and much atzlacha.